I read to you Psalm 72, verses 1 to 7. A psalm of Solomon. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people. Give deliverance to the children of the needy and crush the oppressor. May they fear you while the sun endures and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. Solomon is connected with this psalm, Psalm 72, and also with Psalm 127. Now, if the inscription at the beginning of the psalm is translated Psalm 72 of Solomon, that's what we read in the ESV Bible, then Solomon was the author and he wrote of himself in the third person. This psalm was then Solomon's prayer for God's help as he sought to rule over the people of Israel. But if the inscription is translated for Solomon, and we find that that's how it's translated in the King James Version, then David may have been the author. In verse 20 of the psalm, we read Psalm 72, verse 20, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. So if it's written by David, then the psalm would be a prayer for the people to use to ask God's blessing upon their new king. If Solomon did write the psalm, then it had to be in the early years of his reign, because in his later years, he turned away from the Lord. We read in 1 Kings chapter 11 verses 3 to 4, he had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. But beyond both David and Solomon is the son of David, the one greater than Solomon. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel. Matthew chapter 12, verse 42. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed a greater than Solomon is here. That's what Jesus said. Indeed a greater than Solomon is here. This psalm is not quoted, it is not quoted in the New Testament as referring to Jesus. But certainly this psalm describes the elements that will make up the promised kingdom when Jesus returns. Now what are these elements that make this promised kingdom? We see in verses 1 to 7, there will be a righteous king ruling, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Then in verses 8 to 11, we see there will be a universal dominion. He will reign over all the earth. His glory shall fill the earth. It will be a very compassionate reign. Psalm 72 verses 12 to 14. And then it will be a prosperous nation. Israel will be a very prosperous nation. Psalm 72 verses 15 to 17. Now we look into the first seven verses of the psalm today and then move on later into the rest of the psalm, God willing. Verses 1 to 7, a righteous king. That is one of the elements of the promised kingdom. The Lord was king over his people, And the man on the throne in Jerusalem was his representative. The king was obligated to lead the people according to the law of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 14 to 20, we read, "When you come to the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you possess it and dwell in it, and then say, 'I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me,' you may indeed set a king over you whom the Lord your God will choose. One from among your brothers you shall set as king over you. You may not put a foreigner over you who is not your brother. Only he must not acquire many horses for himself or cause the people to return to Egypt in order to acquire many horses. Since the Lord has said to you, 'You shall never return that way again.' And he shall not acquire many wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he acquire for himself excessive silver and gold. And when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law, approved by the Levitical priests, and it shall be with him. And he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them. That his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment, either to the right hand or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel." The king had to be impartial in all his dealings. Psalm 72 verses 1 and 2 of Solomon: "Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice." Exodus chapter 23 and verse 3: "Nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his lawsuit." Exodus 23 verse 6: "You shall not pervert the justice due to your poor in his lawsuit." Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 17: "You shall not be partial in judgment. You shall hear the small and the great alike. You shall not be intimidated by anyone. For the judgment is God's. And the case that is too hard for you, you shall bring to me and I will hear it." Isaiah chapter 16 verse 5: "Then a throne will be established in steadfast love, and on it will sit in faithfulness in the tent of David, one who judges and seeks justice and is swift to do righteousness." So, the anointed king of Israel was to make sure that his throne was founded on righteousness and justice. The king of Israel was to manifest the righteous rule of God on earth. Psalm 89 verse 14: "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you." Now when the Lord asked Solomon what coronation gift Solomon wanted, the inexperienced young man Solomon, he asked God for wisdom, and God granted his request. 1 Kings chapter 3 verses 5 to 14: "At Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give you.' And Solomon said, 'You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this your great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. One of Solomon's first judgmental decisions revealed this wisdom that God had given him. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 to 28. Then two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, O my Lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. Then on the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth, and we were alone. There was no one else with us in the house. Only we two were in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while your servant slept, and laid him at her breast, and laid her dead son at my breast. When I rose in the morning to nurse my child, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, behold, he was not the child that I had born. But the other woman said, No, the living child is mine, and the dead child is yours. The first said, No, the dead child is yours, and the living child is mine. Thus they spoke before the king. Then the king said, The one says, This is my son that is alive, and your son is dead. And the other says, No, but your son is dead, and my son is the living one. And the king said, Bring me a sword. So a sword was brought before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, O my Lord, give her the living child, and by no means put him to death. But the other said, He shall be neither mine nor yours, divide him. Then the king answered and said, Give the living child to the first woman, and by no means put him to death. She is his mother. And all Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king, because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. You see that? They perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. So when Solomon received the wisdom that God gave him, he was able to govern in righteousness and in justice. And that was what was required of the king of Israel. Now we must take note that righteousness is mentioned four times. Righteousness is mentioned four times in verses 1 to 3 and verse 7 of Psalm 72. In Proverbs chapter 16 verse 12 we read, It is an abomination to kings to do evil, for the throne is established by righteousness. Now, we are living in a world that is so full of unrighteousness. The Messiah will one day reign, and he will reign in righteousness, and he will execute justice throughout the world. The prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Zechariah, they speak about his righteous reign, the righteous reign of the Messiah. Isaiah chapter 9 verses 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Again in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 4 and 5. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. Jeremiah the prophet speaks of the Messiah's righteous reign. Jeremiah 23 verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. In Hebrew, it is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And we know who that is, none else but the Lord Jesus Christ. In the whole land of Israel, from the mountains to the hills, Solomon's reign would bring peace and prosperity. Both of these blessings, peace and prosperity, depend on righteousness. Isaiah chapter 32 verse 17. Both peace and prosperity depend on righteousness. Isaiah chapter 32 verse 17. And the effect of righteousness will be peace. And the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever. Psalm 72 verse 3. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people, and the hills in righteousness. It is because the Lord Jesus fulfilled God's righteousness in his life and in his death that sinners today can be forgiven and have peace with God. Romans chapter 5 verses 6 to 9. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. So, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is King of righteousness and he is King of peace. Solomon's name is related to the Hebrew Shalom, and Shalom means peace, prosperity, well-being, wholeness. The king's ministry to the poor and afflicted reminds us of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 72 verse 2. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Psalm 72 verse 4. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. Now look at Matthew chapter 9 verses 35 to 38. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the ministry to the poor and the afflicted. Matthew 9 verses 35 to 38. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." You see, those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our lives, we are called to go forth into this world as laborers and bring in the harvest into God's kingdom, manifesting God's kingdom wherever God places us. When Jesus Christ reigns and rules in our lives, then his presence and his power is manifest to the world outside. People will be drawn to Christ. And that's why he says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So we need to pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, early in his reign, Solomon had that kind of concern. He had a compassion. But later on in his life, his values changed. And he burdened the people with heavy taxes. After his death, we read in 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 1 to 4, Rehoboam went to Shechem. Rehoboam was Solomon's son. He went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. And as soon as Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it, for he was still in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon, then Jeroboam returned from Egypt. And they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and said to Rehoboam, "Your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you." 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 7. Solomon had 12 officers over all Israel who provided food for the king and his household. Each man had to make provision for 1 month in the year. Look at the way in which he used his officers. 1 Kings chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. King Solomon drafted forced labor out of all Israel. And the draft numbered 30,000 men. He did this out of the people of Israel. King Solomon drafted forced labor out of all Israel. And the draft numbered 30,000 men. And he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month in shifts. They would be a month in Lebanon and 2 months at home. Adoniram was in charge of the draft. Solomon also had 70,000 burden bearers and 80,000 stone cutters in the hill country. Now when we look at verse 5 and verse 15, you find there the burden in verse 5 and verse 15 is "Long live the king." Psalm 72 verse 5. "May they fear you while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations." Psalm 72 verse 15. "Long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day." As long as the sun and the moon endure, verse 5. Psalm 89 verse 29. "I will establish his offspring forever and his throne as the days of the heavens." Psalm 89 verses 36 to 37. "His offspring shall endure forever, his throne as long as the sun before me. Like the moon it shall be established forever, a faithful witness in the skies." And we read in 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 31. About Bathsheba. "Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the ground and paid homage to the king and said, 'May my Lord King David live forever.'" 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 34. "And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet there anoint him king over Israel, then blow the trumpet and say, long live King Solomon. These were the instructions of David. 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 39. There Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. Then they blew the trumpet and all the people said, long live King Solomon. So Solomon began his reign in righteousness, in truth, in justice. And the people were blessed and they were prosperous. But towards the end of his life, what happened? Solomon was led astray. Solomon went astray. Now God had promised David an endless dynasty. That was God's promise to David. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 16. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 19. And yet this was a small thing in your eyes. This is what David is telling the Lord. And yet this was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come. And this is instruction for mankind, O Lord God. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 26. And your name will be magnified forever, saying the Lord of hosts is God of Israel, is God over Israel, and the house of your servant David will be established before you. Now, this prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus, the son of David. Let's read Luke chapter 1, verses 31 to 33. Luke 1, 31 to 33. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. Gabriel, the angel, is speaking to Mary. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Remember Isaiah chapter 9 verse 7, the prophecy of the increase of his government and of his peace there will be no end. Psalm 72 verses 6 and 7. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. Now the image of the rain in verses 6 and 7 reminds us that a righteous king would encourage and inculcate righteousness in the people. And a righteous people would receive God's promised blessing according to God's covenant. Leviticus chapter 26 verses 3 to 6. If you walk in my statutes and observe my commandments and do them, then I will give you your rains in their season, and the land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last to the time of the grape harvest, and the grape harvest shall last to the time for sowing, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land securely. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will remove harmful beasts from the land, and the sword shall not go through your land. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 11 to 17. But the land that you are going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water by the rain from heaven. A land that the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the later rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil. And he will give grass in your fields for your livestock, and you shall eat and be full. Take care lest your heart be deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, And he will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain. And the land will yield no fruit. And you will perish quickly off the good land that the Lord is giving you. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 8. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all that you undertake. And he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You see, godly leaders are like the refreshing rain that makes the land fruitful and beautiful, so that even the newly mown fields will produce a second crop. Godly leaders are like shields that protect. Psalm 84 verse 9. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. They are also like lamps that light the way. Godly leaders, they are like lamps that light the way. And David was one of them. He was called the lamp of Israel. His closest friends, who were warriors, they did not want him to fight the battles. They wanted him to be protected because he was a lamp to Israel. 2 Samuel chapter 21 verse 17. But Abishai the son of Zeruiah came to his aid and attacked the Philistine and killed him. Then David's men swore to him, "You shall no longer go out with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel." But the sad reality was that very few of the kings who reigned after David were models of godliness. So many of them were unrighteous and they messed up the rule as king. But the coming of Christ into the world manifested the kingdom of God in this world. The kingdom of God is the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this reign began with the incarnation of Christ on earth, and that reign continues. And that reign will continue. It will climax with his millennial reign on earth, his 1,000-year reign on earth, when he comes again. In his first coming, the king came to die. He died and he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is today building his church on earth. But he is coming again. He is coming to reign in righteousness on earth. In his second coming, he will establish complete rule and reign on earth. Until then, he has placed us, his church, his body, his people on earth, his ambassadors. He has placed us as his ambassadors to manifest his rule in our lives. And he appeals through us to the people of the world to accept himself as Savior and Lord of their lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So our lives and our message must be an exemplary witness of Christ in this dark world. Believers in Christ are kings and priests. We are called to manifest his kingdom wherever he places us. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, wherever there is the manifestation of God's kingdom, righteousness and peace and joy is evident. Romans chapter 14 verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, remember, the increase of his kingdom will climax when he comes. His kingdom will increase and climax when he comes. He will come and reign and rule over all the earth. Isaiah chapter 9 verses 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now, remember, Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 20, but if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So, he sends us, his believers, into the world to manifest his kingdom. We are called to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, manifesting God's kingdom wherever he places us. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. When Jesus Christ reigns in our lives, he will manifest his kingdom through us wherever he places us. Luke chapter 9, verse 2. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8. And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. You see, every resource that you and I need, spiritual, material, every resource that we need to fulfill his kingdom purposes in and through our lives is provided to us. Only one thing we need to do. As believers in Christ, we must seek his kingdom above everything else in our lives. We must seek his kingdom and his righteous reign in and through our lives, so that wherever God places us, his kingdom is made known. People see his presence in us, his power at work within us, and the way in which God draws people to himself through his children, by his Spirit, leading souls to Christ. This is what needs to happen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus tells us, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?